You are now entering her world. Welcome to the Mahogany Fawn Mobcast.
Hey y'all, hey y'all, hey, it's your girl Mahogany Fawn in the building. We are here for a Tut Tuesday, Turn Up Tuesday, if you're with me. I am here with the ever-talented, multifaceted Darren Big Brown Kerr. Darren, say hello to the mob crew.
Hey, how y'all doing? How's everybody doing today?
I think we're ready to dive into this interview and see what you are all about. But before we get started, just let the mob crew know a little bit about you.
Well, my name is Big Brown. I've been doing stand-up comedy for 14 years now. I've been in the medical field for 12 years now. And, I also started my own clothing line, which, I've been doing for like 3 years now. And, I'm very spiritual. I'm into God and my religion and life and stuff like that, you know. And life is good, you know.
Okay. All right. Y'all heard it from the horse's mouth itself. Life is good. So let's get into how good life is. So, Darren, let me ask you a question. Why or what made you get started in comedy?
I started comedy about, like I said, about 13, 14 years ago. Truly, I've been funny all my life. You know, I've always been the center of anything. I could walk into a room, everybody was laughing, cracking jokes, around my family, my friends, you know. And I actually went to Funny Bone one day when they first opened up, and I think that was back in 2007. And I went there, on stage, and I saw this comedian named Angus Black, and he was hilarious. I mean, he had me dying. And I was on a date at the time, and the girl I was with, she's like, oh my God, she's like, he's funny, but she was like, you can do that too. And I said, nah, I can't do that. She said, no, you're just as funny as he is, all the stuff you do. And I tried it, and I got booed for 2 years straight.
Wow.
That's how that started.
Wow.
So never follow another comedian. That's what you don't do. You don't follow the comedian.
Oh, okay, lesson learned. Lesson learned. Well then, same question when it comes to your fashion line. Like, where, you know, why did you get that started?
I started with the fashion. This came during the pandemic. And, like I said, during the pandemic, I was quarantined before the pandemic even started, so let me get that straight. You know what I'm saying? So I kind of was isolated away from the world, and I was trying to get my life together, and I was thinking of things that I like to do, and I started writing down 5 things a day that I could do that would be beneficial to my life, that could help me be more productive, help me financially, help me mentally, help me physically, you know. And I started writing down 5 things a day, and then one day I found the drawing pad, and I opened it up, and my hands just went to work and creating designs. And I sat in the room for 4 days, and I just started designing different characters, and the only thing, I came up with all these characters and drawings and stuff like that, and I didn't have a name for it. So I named it after my mother and father. I called it Ali and Berg. Father Ali, my mother being Berg. And I just wrote in the names, abbreviation, and so I came up with Ali and Berg.
Wow. You know what? I don't even think I knew the backstory behind Ali and Berg, which is a very urban-friendly funk and fly line. Like, it's really dope. You know, you use a lot of vibrant colors. The designs that you use are, like I said, they're more on the urban side, but in a way that's tastefully done. So
yeah,
I think that's dope.
What it is, like I said, I designed Anya Burr because I noticed a lot of things with fashion. One thing I noticed about fashion, everybody always seems to follow everybody else. Like, oh, I like that shirt, and then they go get the shirt. Mm-hmm. Oh, I like the sneakers, and then they go get the sneakers. Mm-hmm. You know, so it kind of takes away the creativity of you thinking. So really, you're imitating or trying to outdo somebody else because you think you look better than them. What I created was Alien Berg. Alien Berg is lifestyle of your mind. Fashion is for the eye. So I say that to say this. If you sit there, like people don't realize how colors excite you or create a mood or create a mood for other people.
Yes.
So I say, if you could come up with a color structure, I could put it on with my design. And that way you feel more comfortable with what you're wearing. I feel more comfortable with what I'm doing for you. And you're in a whole sense of creating something in your mind that gives you a euphoria, a well-being, a tastefulness.
Okay, it's not just the garment that you're wearing. You know, it's a whole experience.
That what?
I said it's not just a garment that you're wearing. It's a whole experience.
It's a whole experience, right? Correct.
Okay. Well, that leads me to my second question. As a business owner, what are your three top priorities?
My three top priorities is always. One thing you always have to do is always be on time. As a business owner, you always have to be on time. I don't care if you're doing it just for yourself. Always be punctual with yourself.
Yes.
If you say you're going to do something at 8 o'clock in the morning, do it at 8 o'clock in the morning. You know?
I agree. I agree.
One, always provide a great service. You know? Follow up. You know? See how people feel. Shop it around. Be accessible to ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Be open-minded to situations. Like, not everybody's gonna like what you do.
That's
you know? And mm-hmm. one thing, and my main thing of all, always put God first in everything you do.
Okay.
And he'll guide you right along.
All right, amen to that. All right, well, you know what? Those were great top priorities, and that's the first time I've ever heard any one of those from any of the business owners that I've interviewed. So I think that's pretty cool. Being on time as a professional is just in general, professional, personal, your time is not any more important than anybody else's time. Make sure you take that into consideration. But we're gonna roll into question number three, being that those are your priorities. What's something people misunderstand about your brand, Ollie and Berg?
A misunderstanding about my brand?
Like you say, it's a euphoric type of clothing line. And I don't know if everybody, you know, catches that or gets that from, you know, your clothes if they don't hear the backstory. So, you know, what would be something that people misunderstood? Like I'm thinking it's just an urban line. You know, I'm not thinking that you're actually using the color palette to appeal to my senses and make me feel good inside. You know what I mean?
Right. The a misinterpretation about my line is one thing. Is that it's not about fashion.
See?
It's not about fashion.
Okay.
It's about a feel good. You know. It's about a feel good feeling. Like I said, in your mind, when we live in our mind, the boundaries are limitless. You know, fashion really limits you. You know, because like I said, you see somebody else wearing something, and you like, oh, I like that. And have you ever seen two people in the club wear the same thing? And you're like,
yes, it's death. Death on the dance floor.
She looks better, and she doesn't know how to wear it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going on in their mind, too. Oh, she got the same thing I got on. He got the same thing I got on, but I look better in mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, it's creating a kind of animosity.
Mm-hmm.
All my designs are, like, I design everything by hand. I design everything. Every one of my clothing that I've distributed, mm-hmm. I've created myself, like a color scheme or a shirt or a hoodie. It all comes from my hand. It's not like I'm doing a mass production of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you rarely see two people with the same clothing on that I made.
Wow. Now that's called being special. Or should I say different?
Yeah. I say special because I want everybody to feel special.
Right.
When you put on an Ali and Berg shirt, you know that there might be two people have this on, but there's not 40 people with it on.
Your chances of running into it is harder. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The chances of you running into somebody with the same hoodie at the same time, the same club, that's highly coincidental, like, you know.
Okay. Well, with that being said, we are going to roll into our first musical break. This playlist is curated by our guest for today's show, Mr. Darren Big Brown Kerr. So, to list off so many of his accolades, this mix is curated by Big Brown. We'll be right back right here on the Mahogany Fond Mobcast.
J. Coon and Duck get fresh. Rock to the beat, cause we are the best. We got Dougie Fresh and Biz Markie.
Hey.
Rock to the beat and the place to be. We got Biz Markie and DJ 20. So hit me with the horns and make that money.
Let me see those hands in the air.
Yeah. Hang on now. Hey, everybody jump.
Grandma, I can get busy.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
You know that I can do it with the mic in my hand.
Yeah.
You remember that? I want you. Yo, that is that. Tick tock, tock, and tick tock, and do the die. No matter what I say, it always come on fire. The ladies in here feel like fruit in a cup. I'm in love. I'm all shook up.
Yo, Daddy Fresh, my fella, my man.
Yeah.
Get on the mic and do the best.
Let me clear my throat. Oh, have mercy, baby. continue to be, cause we are the best. I got Dougie Fresh and Biz Markie.
like it.
Your girl Mahogany Fawn on the Mahogany Fawn Mobcast. I am in the middle of interviewing Darren Big Brown Kerr, fashion designer, comedian. Oh, yes, speak. Let him hear you.
Yeah, I'm here, man. I'm here.
Fashion designer. What? Go ahead.
The funny thing, I used to do radio. I did radio for 10 years, too.
Oh, yeah? I never knew that.
Yeah. I did radio for 10 years. I had my own radio station, my own show on Hot 91. I had the reggae in the mix. I did every Sunday for 10 years. Wow, look at, like I said, multifaceted people. He's multifaceted.
You never know what you're gonna get. But with that being said, since we were speaking about Ollie and Berg, I want to go ahead and transition into Big Brown. So a question I have for Big Brown, the comedian. How do you handle adversity in your craft?
How do I handle adversity in my craft? Well, you know, there's adversity in everything, you know. And like I said, I'm very spiritual. I've learned in the past couple of years, you know, I used to be very conflictual, like always argumentative. Want to get my word across, but you know what? I learned, I give it to God. But it's not my battle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God gave me something, and if they want to challenge it, that's on them. They want to be controversial, they want to disrespect, I don't have time for that, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I keep moving forward. You know, adversity is stressful, you know, because it's conflictual, and not only conflictual with the person you're fighting, but it's conflictual with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're trying to get across what you're trying to say, and they're adamant about what they're trying to say, and it's a back and forth. I don't have time for back and forth. I have time for progress, moving forward, and that's it. Peaceful tranquility, you know.
So you just don't deal.
How I look for you.
You don't deal with it at all. You're just like brush it off my shoulder, you know, let's keep it moving. There's always going to be an issue, but the issue ain't here, right?
Right. The issue is definitely not here. I don't have time for the fight. The battle is never yours. It never has been yours. You know, God wants you to come to him and give it to him. He'll fight your battle. And he'll pass you to take on another task. And you get to that, there's going to be more conflict. There's going to be another wall.
That's right.
The wall and clear another path.
So, basically, be faithful and steadfast. That's what you need to be.
Faithful and steadfast. And like I said, it's more peaceful for me because, like I said, I don't have time for the back and forth. Ever since I've been on comedy, radio, whatever it is, people have tried to destroy, sabotage, corrupt, lie, manipulate everything I've done. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I know the more I fight with them, the more I lose. Because it takes focus off of what I am doing. So what I said, if you don't like what I do, there's plenty other people that do. If you don't like what I say, there's plenty of people that do like what I say.
That's right.
I'm respectable. You know. You wanna fight adversity, be respectful. Okay, that's your opinion, that's what you're they'll come at you again. Because you know what? The only way the devil attacks is when he hears your words.
Yes, and words mean power. You know what I mean? Words have power.
Right.
Yeah, we did. We definitely speak things into existence, and we speak things upon our lives. So yes, words have power. Right. Well, then I'm gonna roll into the next question. Then, what are some mistakes in the comedic world you wish you could have avoided?
Some of the mistakes, you know, truthfully, once again, none of them have been mistakes. They've all been lessons.
Okay, know? I like that. I like that.
They've always enhanced me. Like I said, some of the things I learned is, you know, you can't share everything with everybody. That's a no no. Mm-hmm. Like, if you have a joke that you haven't tried out, make sure the people you share it with are not people that are going to take it from you and go use it somewhere else.
They're going to steal your shit.
It happens. Like, if you see something funny, like two comedians see something funny, right, and you go, you make a joke, like, he's over there dying, but the whole time he's sitting there going, oh, man, I'm going to use that the first chance I get.
Oh, man.
So, and it's I'm going to tell you, the comedy world is a very cutthroat, stab-in-the-back business. You know?
Not comedy. Not the funny ha-ha guys. No way.
Yeah, the funny ha-ha guys, they're the worst. You know, I've had, like I said, a lot of people, they like to see your downfall. Like, they want to see you go up on stage and do bad, like get booed or heckled or not a good set. Mm-hmm. They look forward to that. Mm-hmm. You know, the comedians, a handful of comedians I came up with, mm-hmm. that have showed me and molded me, and I'm thankful for them. I'm so thankful for them. They have showed me and molded me into what I am now. You know what I'm saying? I can call them back for advice. They tell me where to go to get bookings or stuff like that. Yeah. But a lot of them, they have the crab-like mentality of pulling you down. They want to see you fail. Mm-hmm. Me, on the other hand, I don't want to see anybody fail. I want everybody to be successful.
Me too.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I provide platforms for people, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of platforms that you provide, did you want to let the people know if they're interested in something to that degree, what you do provide?
Yeah, what I do provide, like I said, I do every Tuesday, I do open mic at Jam Cafe. Doors open at 7, show starts at 8 o'clock. You can come in there. And it's not only just for comics, it's also for poets, rappers, spoken word, voice your opinion. You know, I even tell them, you got to go up there and do 10 push-ups and grunt all the way through, different grunts. Do it. You know, it's open mic. It's freedom. And I provide a platform that... You're not going to get booed or heckled or judged.
Right.
Now, I can't really stop that, but I mean, I've had a couple situations where people came in there and they were disrespectful. Then that's when I turned into my other part of my job. I do security, so you can get them out of here. You know what I'm saying? And they're like, Brown, I didn't even know you was like that. I said, I haven't always been a comedian.
All right. I mean, you guys heard it there. The platform is there. It's a loving atmosphere. If you do want to try something out, I visited myself. I give kudos to Darren for, you know, putting other people on, and just by giving them the platform, you're already making a bigger step for people in their futures, and they don't even know it. So, of course, like he said, Jam Cafe every Tuesday. You anywhere else when it comes to the funny man? Ha ha.
Yeah, Jam Cafe every Tuesday. I do Phoenix Lounge every second or third Sunday of the month, where I hire a headliner. I do feature acts. I also do what is called a 10 for 10, where I get 10 comedians on the stage for $10, and for a limited time, not always. I don't come to the door expecting $10 discount because I gave you ample time. It's called an early bird special, where you can buy the tickets for $10. Now, like I said, I put these guys on stage. I also critique, watch, and I'm mindful of their performance, because if they do good at the 10 for 10, I put them on the road. We have shows in New York. We have a venue in New York. We have three venues in New York. We have one in Long Island. We have Shoeby, the Hive, which is in Long Island. We have one in Brooklyn, which is the BFW 7096, which is in Brooklyn. And then I just took on another venue, which is in Harlem. It's the Harlem Comedy Club, which is in Harlem. So I have platforms to put them on. And what I do, my strategy is this. You come to my open mic, you perform, I see how you do. I try and mold you where you respecting the lights, respecting other comedians, you work on your crowd work, you work on your jokes.
Yeah.
Now, from there, I take you to Phoenix Lounge, where you're getting, this is a real, where you put your notebook away and you get on stage and you perform in front of people for 5 minutes, and I watch you and see if you're respectful of the life, mm-hmm. how you handle the crowd, how you're telling your jokes, you know, say your mannerisms, how you're interacting with people when you're off the stage, because that's very important too. It's not even about just being on stage. It's about how you carry yourself as a person.
Right.
If you get off stage and I see you go to the bar and you're throwing back 10 shots and you're disrespectful, you're drooling all the time, you know, it's my etiquette. I respect etiquette within people. So I try and mold people into being a better person and being a better comic. And, you know, and networking. If you get off stage and walk out and go home and no one knows who you are, how are you helping yourself when I'm trying to help you?
Right. Exactly. Networking is really important for any personal growth or business. You can't hide away in your shell. You can't go to your car. You have to talk to people, especially if you want to grow.
Wow.
But with that being said, we are going to roll into our next break. Darren, tell the people we're going to be right back.
We'll be right back with Mahogany Falls Podcast. Love it, man. Yeah.
Yeah. off of a pretty girl.
So
I sat beside her. Then she went real like she was Tony the Tiger. I said, hold on, there's been a mistake, honey. My name's Slick Rick, not Frosty Flakes.
Oh, golly, what?
So she was raised in hell. She said, oh, my name is Maggie, but call me Michelle. Michelle, my belle, Sunday monkey, but getting on some. Slick Rick and I'm rock that house, you know what I'm saying? And when I'm on the mic, there won't be no delaying. Bust a move, we show and prove. Hey, yo, Doug, do that record jam on the groove.
Oh,
can't let you go.
Hey y'all, we are back for our final portion of our interview here with Darren Big Brown Kerr. We are going to dive into one of his other facets of life and see where we go from there. Darren, you with me, baby? You with me?
Yes, I'm with you. I'm here. I'm having a great time.
Okay, good. I'm so glad. I'm so glad you're having a great time.
I'm confused. I love it.
Okay, so with the many facets and the many layers of you, I wanted to get into your pediatric, you know, background here. Like, tell the people your title and what you do.
Okay, I'm a senior certified medical assistant. Slash phlebotomist, slash pediatric care. I've been doing it for 12 years. I got into the medical field because I'm a people person. I love helping people. I've always been that way. My mother, she's a nurse. I have a whole lot of nurses in my family. In my family, we have nurses and teachers. So that's my world around. And ironically, like I said, when I started the medical field, I ended up teaching, which is great. That's another story. But I ended up teaching medically. And but I got into the medical field because it was funny. Like, I thought I was doing stand-up comedy. And when I thought I was doing stand-up comedy, it started out great. Even though they booed me for 2 years, I was still getting booked. Mm-hmm. I get booked out of town. When I went out of town, they didn't boo me. But when I came back to Virginia, it was like they would tear me up. You know, which was crazy.
It was your home, though. That's your hometown, though. Your hometown is always going to be either the best or the worst to you.
Oh, my God. I never understood that. But, like I said, they told me to peep. So, when I did go out of town, and I saw it was great, but I was making good money going out of town to Hillsville. When I first started comedy, they would fly you out of town, they'd give you a hotel, and they'll pay you. I mean, substantially, like $500 a show. $250 for a feature, something like good money. You know? And it was great. And I was having fun with it. And I listened to my dad. My dad always, he disrupts my life, but he disrupts my life in a good way.
So, like parents do.
I was out in Vegas one day. We did a comedy show. They rented us this big hotel. So I'm having time a lot. I called my dad. I said, "Yeah, we're having a great time at comedy." He said, "Are you by yourself?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, go somewhere where you're by yourself." I went in the room and I closed the door while everybody's out in the place partying and having a good time. And my dad goes, he said, "Do you really think this comedy thing is going to last forever?" I was like, "Why shouldn't it?" He was like, he said, "Do you really think you're going to make a career making jokes?" I said, "Why can't I?" He said, "What do you have to fall back on?" And I was like,
"Yeah, smart."
I didn't know. I didn't have anything to fall back on. He was like, "He said you didn't finish college. You didn't go back." I said, "Well, I almost finished." He said, "Well, you didn't finish. You don't have nothing to fall back on." So we go back. Now, not only is he ruining my night and people out in the living room partying, like he got on me. He told me to pieces. He was like, "But you know what? He was right. I didn't have anything to fall back on."
Yeah, always have a backup plan. You got to.
Always have a backup plan. Mm-hmm. I thought comedy was going to be it. So what I did when I came back, mind you, I stayed in the room a lot during. I didn't go back in the living room.
So. Damn. Like you were worth it.
Wow. If you were worth, and you get there and they're like, oh, we did. And it got to the point where you get to the venues and they was like, we don't really need you.
Damn. Well, damn.
You know.
Went to shit from the, sugar to shit real like, quick. Wow.
And like I said, my dad spoke. When he did that, he changed me and I got in the medical field because I chose something I wanted to get into. And like I said, I'm very spiritual. I prayed on it. My first interview for my first job was with a pediatric doctor, and they hired me.
Mm.
My first interview.
Wow.
And I loved it. I've been there ever since, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's been a magnificent journey. I've watched children from birth all the way up until now. I watch children every year a child grow up. Go off to college, go into kindergarten.
And I
feel like they're dead.
Oh.
I don't have any children, so God blessing us all these children. I feel like Abraham.
That's a good way to put it, though. Very true. Okay. Yeah, for sure. Well, that brings me to, you know, my last question, Darren. Are you happy? And would you change anything?
I am very happy. Okay. Would I change anything? No, I wouldn't change a thing. One thing I would change is I want to be more disciplined to God. You know,
okay.
That's one thing I want. And I'm on the right path. You know, I know I'm not perfect, but I love what God has brought me through.
Mm-hmm.
I love the lessons throughout life. You know what I'm saying? If I didn't go through all of them things, I wouldn't be who I am right now.
That's right. You know? They form the people you are.
I'm glad I went through the storms. I'm glad I went through them. You know? I'm so happy because if I didn't go through them, I don't know who I would have been. I don't know if I would have been here.
Wow.
But my storms in life, everything, my trials and tribulations, my lessons, the people I've met, people I've encountered. I mean, I'm so thankful that I've met these people and I've grown to who I am. And I love them all, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, I even love my enemies. I love my enemies. Yeah, they fooled me. I got shot. I got this. You know, it's a valuable lesson.
Okay. All right. Well, you know
what? I am happy.
I'm glad that you're happy, Darren. We're happy to have you. We're happy that you're here. And with your happy self, tell the world where they can find you.
Well, you can find me on Facebook. I'm Darren Big Brown Kerr. On Instagram, I am Big Brown 2020. On YouTube, it's the Big Brown Comedy Show. I also have Alien Berg. On Instagram, I have Instagram Alien Berg, and I have Facebook Alien Berg also. It's OLIN Berg, BURG. I named that after my mother and father. You know, like I said, those are my father, he's my hero. My mother's my biggest inspiration. And my granny, she's my best friend.
Oh my God, do you hear how sweet he is, you guys? Oh, bless her heart, and bless you with your sweet self. You're just so mannerable, talking about my mama and my granny. Oh, well.
I love them.
Well, with that being said, we are going to get out of here. So go ahead and say see you later to the mob crew.
Okay. See you later, everybody. Have a blessed day. God bless. Stay encouraged. Stay uplifted. Keep doing what you're doing, Mahogany. I thank you so much for having me on your show. God bless you. You keep doing what you're doing. Keep entertaining the world. Keep that beautiful smile on your face. Keep your energy going. And like I said, if you need help with anything, I'm always here. And I look forward to being in the next show.
I know that's right, and I will definitely have you back on. This was a pleasure, and I really enjoyed it, and I know our listeners are going to enjoy learning so many different sides of you. Like I usually say, life is a game of tag. Somebody is always it, and that it could be you. Until next time.
You are now entering her world. Welcome to the Mahogany Fawn Mobcast.